there are four habits that are hindering your evangelism. How do you share the gospel with these four limiting habits? Today, we're going to talk about them and what to do about them. The 21st century, 7.7 billion people, 41% unreached, 5 billion people in the 10-40 window, 47 megacities each with over 10 million people, and 1.6 billion Muslims, nearly a billion Hindus, and hundreds of millions of others without the gospel. This is Timothy Talks, Season 2, An Unfinished Task. Thanks for tuning into Timothy Talks today. Evangelism and missions is how we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's four habits that are very common, and probably, if you're not suffering from one of these already, you've done so in the past. So four habits today that we're going to look at that are ruining your evangelism, ruining your witness, making it difficult for you to share the gospel. These four habits, and I'm just going to hit them right now, and then we'll delve into them deeper. A lack of study, a fear of man, a low view of God, and a lack of love. Matthew, what do you have to say about these four habits? Have you noticed any of these in your life, or are they significant? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're absolutely significant. It's interesting, when you look at this list and you read them off, these are things that you don't want to be characterized with or as being. You don't want to be considered someone who's, you know, has a lack of study or has a fear of man or has a low view of God or a lack of love. But if you look at your evangelistic patterns and you notice that they are absent, well, this list begins to characterize you. So this may be a convicting podcast, but hopefully it's a helpful one to help you overcome some of these things so that you will get out there and share your faith. And with that, let's turn to the first one, a lack of study, a lack of knowing the word of God. Daniel, how does this affect witness and what do we do about it?
Lack of study. You think about what you're called to do in evangelism is you're going to take the gospel to other people, and they have so many different beliefs, so many different worldviews, so many different questions that they may ask you. And then the question is, are you ready? And I know a lot of people who, over the years, I encourage them to evangelize or I go out with them and they're just scared. What do I say? How do I even know what I'm going to communicate? Well, you know what that boils down to is this lack of study. So if you've ever had this problem where you're like, I don't know what I'm going to answer that person, maybe this is something for you. Well, I was talking on the plane the other day. I was flying somewhere, and I was sitting next to this young man, and we were talking about whether there's a God or not. And so he did not believe that there was a God, and I obviously did. And I was sharing with him some of the reasons why. And I think that he found the conversation really refreshing because at some point in the conversation, he said, you know, this is so different from the conversations that I have with other people about religion, because they're just telling me, you need to believe in God, you need to believe in God. But what I like about you, he said, is you're actually telling me why you believe in God. It's not just like, oh, this is what I've always heard, this is what I've always believed, and you should believe it too. But you can actually explain the evidence for God and the reasons why. And so this lack of study is that oftentimes Christians, they know that they're supposed to go out there and evangelize. They know they're supposed to share the gospel. But when they go out there, maybe they know what they're supposed to say. But if you press them on it, so why? Can you show me a verse in the Bible that says that? Or can you explain, why does God require repentance? What is it about faith? Why not love, for example? I mean, all of these different questions. If you don't have the study behind it, you're not going to know what to say after you've run through your lines, so to speak.
And I think so many times evangelicals see evangelism as having to play defense. Well, the reality is you're hunting for men. You're fishers of men. And you can take the offensive. You can study up. You can know certain facets and elements of the arguments coming against you, and you can attack them head on. And I think a good one you're talking about is kind of the existence of God. And the natural argument of, well, how do we have everything we have? You know, why is it in order? That's a huge word to look at. But yeah, lack of study is definitely a massive hindrance in many people's efforts of reaching the lost.
Jonathan Edwards, in one of his resolutions, he says that if ever there's a theological question that concerns me that I don't have an answer for, he resolved that he was going to immediately seek the answer to that question. He wasn't going to let that little doubt linger in his mind. He wasn't going to just be content with having those questions himself. And Jonathan Edwards, for him to get the answer, that would mean digging deep into the Word of God. And we have so many resources all around us. It doesn't have to be a huge study like it may have been for him. But you think about, just take that little step. The little things in your mind that you're uncertain about, just start looking for the answers to that. So if you're like, I'm not sure how I would defend whether or not there is a God. Okay, well, that's a question that you've got in your mind. Just make that your goal over the next couple days. I'm going to just delve into this topic. I'm going to ask my pastor. I'm going to read some books about it. I'm going to see what the Bible has to say about this. Take some responsibility for that topic to where you actually have your own viewpoint, not just something that you've heard from someone else.
And here's one of the benefits of being out there, reaching people, talking to people, is you'll realize what you don't know and you have to go study. You might go out and encounter somebody who's a Buddhist and you have no clue about Buddhism and you don't really have too much to say to them. You try your best, you share the gospel, and you leave and you go home, you feel a little defeated. Well, what you do is you start studying some of the facets of Buddhism, get a better understanding. So the next Buddhist you meet, you're able to engage with better. And I use Buddhism as an example. It could be anything. Atheism or people with strange, odd views about cosmology. Research those things, study those things, cult groups, and be able to interact with them. And don't feel defeated if you don't have the perfect answer for them, because God can use your jumbled up words to save the most heretical sinner. I mean, look at Charles Spurgeon's testimony. If you haven't read that, I would look it up and you'd understand what I'm saying. But nonetheless, use those opportunities to broaden your mind to see what do I need to know to better engage people.
And this doesn't mean that you have to be top-notch scholar to go out, because you can never know all of the answers. We're always going to be learning more things. And if someone asks you a question and you legitimately don't have an answer to it, you say, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for you right now. Maybe they'll let you give you some way to keep in contact, and you can say, but I'll research this and let you know. So don't wait until you have all the answers, but start studying and go out there and see what you need to learn and learn it on the job, so to speak, as you're sharing the gospel. But a second habit that's a major problem, and this is, I think sometimes our lack of study, we say, oh, I don't have the answers, I don't know what to say. You know what? Sometimes that's just a veneer over an even bigger habit that's dangerous to evangelism. Matthew, you want to touch on that?
Yeah, the fear of man. And this cripples many, many, many Christians of all ages, of all genders, from sharing the gospel with the people around them. Proverbs reads this. He says, the fear of man lays a snare. And this idea of a snare has this understanding of like a hunter's trap. And it really traps evangelistic efforts. It causes you to feel paralyzed and unable. And really, when we begin to look at it, this fear of man is built on a foundation of pride. It's built on a foundation of pride because you fear what they will do to you, what they will say to you, what they will say about you. And you realize all those statements ended with what? Yourself. So you're more concerned about what people think or will say to you than you are about their own salvation. And here's some of the things that, you know, we really have to overcome, and that's our own pride. When it comes to a fear of man, we have to humble ourselves. Who cares if people call you a fool? Who cares if people call you irrational? That doesn't mean be irrational, but calls you irrational for loving and serving a God who you cannot physically see. Who cares what man has to say against you? What you should be concerned of and concerned with is, what does God have to say about you? And the classic verse that people will go to is, you know, fear not man. What can man do? They can hurt your body. They can kill you. But then the scripture continues, says rather fear God, who can destroy both body and soul forever in hell. And that's the reality. We have the wrong... Fear is a good thing, but we've put it in the wrong place. We've put it in man when we should be putting it in God. And I think the reason is because of our own pride. We want to be looked at as the intellectually savvy or as the creative or as the liked or the social crowd or are one of the ones who's approved of, one who has a good reputation. We have to lay that aside if we're wanting to go out and witness and share the gospel. The world's not going to accept it. The world's not going to lift you up, but on the last day, you will be lifted up. And hopefully that's the motivating factor that pushes you beyond the fear of man. And I would say this, the last comment I have on this topic is, when you view people, don't be concerned about what they're going to say to you or about you, but be concerned where they're going to go when they die. Mm. If you change that perspective, then it will really allow you to reach out to more people than maybe you even anticipate.
And I've got some great news for you. You are already one of those weird, strange Christians.
Absolutely.
So your reputation, if you're trying to save your reputation, you know what? It's already gone. You don't have to worry about your reputation because you're already one of those weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
So since you've already lost your reputation, just go out and be who you are. Just go out and be one of those weird people who actually cares about God.
Yeah, you're free. You're freed to share the gospel and praise God. And we hope that you continue to do so until he calls you home or until he comes. With that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with you.
If you're enjoying the Timothy Talks podcast show today, consider doing us a favor and give us a positive rating on iTunes. This way other people can hear the show too. And if you have a friend or family member who would enjoy this content, please pass it on. You can send them to www.timothytalkspodcast.com or they can subscribe through their favorite podcast app.
And we're back with Timothy Talks, and we're looking at four habits that hinder your witness. We've gone through two. We've looked at the lack of study. We looked at a fear of man. And we're going to look at a third one. We're going to look at a low view of God. So, Daniel, I'm going to turn it over to you. How does a low view of God hinder our witness?
It flips everything upside down. So when you talk about fear of man, the fear there is that people are too big. You're thinking of people like they're these giants. And these giants are coming to get you. But then you think of God as this tiny little being way out somewhere or other that's not around to help you. And if you could flip that, your evangelism would be so much more God-honoring. If you realize that man is small, but God is big. And in Isaiah has this vision of God where he sees the temple. And the Lord is in the temple sitting on his throne, and there it's a majestic scene, angels crying out to one another, holy, 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 and the doorposts are shaking. And Isaiah has no idea what to do, and so he calls out, woe is me, I'm this sinful man, I live in the middle of a people of sin and of unclean lips. But what this does is it gives Isaiah a remarkable view of God that will fuel his ministry so that he can go for the rest of his ministry and talk to people about who God is. And Isaiah has a ridiculous evangelistic strategy because when God calls for someone to go to the people and Isaiah responds, the question is, how long should I do this for? How long should I talk about you, God? And what does God say? Until they're ruined, until they're goners, until they're done for, because they're not going to listen to you. That's really sounds strange. And we would probably lose a lot of enthusiasm for evangelism if we knew that our message would be rejected like that. Well, Isaiah knows that his message will be rejected. But he's okay with that because he's seen who God is. And that vision of who God is, the Lord high and lifted up, as it says there in Isaiah. The Lord high and lifted up is the one who sent you. And you are his servant. And so when you understand what that means, the honor that it is to take the message of God to the world and who this God is, the being that brought everything into existence with a word, and the same being who can destroy the wicked with the breath of his mouth, who can create light and create darkness, who can do all of these things, who has named the stars, and Isaiah talks about this, he has such God-honoring language throughout his book, because he's seen that picture of who God is. And when you have that high view of God, as we talk about here, on Timothy talks, the high theology. What does it lead to? Well, it leads to high doxology, we like to say that, to where you praise God. But it does more than that. It leads to a high practice, a high evangelism, a high everything that you do for God, because you realize who it is that sent you on this mission. You have any thoughts to add to that?
No, it's absolutely just foundational that our view of God will be parallel to our evangelism. The more we think of God, the higher view we have of God, the more we will want people to know about God. There's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more glorious. You know, you have a child who comes home from school and he has a picture and he's so proud of it. What does he want to do? He wants to show mom. He wants to show dad, brother, sister. He wants to show the neighbor. He wants to show the cat. Everyone has to see this picture because it's precious to him. Well, we have something greater than a picture from grade school. We have the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that saves sinners from hell. We move to the fourth topic and the fourth habit that unfortunately hinders the witness. But again, we hope that this is an encouragement to get over these hindrances. It's a lack of love. And this is where we have to examine our hearts. This is where we have to see what truly is important to us. You know, evangelism is hard. But what we have to realize is that it's harder to see the people that we love go to hell. We're not saying that you're going to go out and win a million converts. We're not saying you're going to go out and win one, but we are calling you to go out and to honor God and let the results lay in His hands. We're calling you to love people as Jesus loved people. Unfortunately, I think today we as evangelicals, especially Reformed evangelicals, tend to be apathetic towards other people. We love our theology. We love the doctrines of grace. We love the knowledge of God revealed to us in the scriptures. But sometimes it doesn't sink down into our hearts. And that's our goal. Continue to press the word down into your heart, into your actions. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, "To win a soul is more glorious achievement than to be crowned in the arena of theological controversy." That should be our aim, to win souls. Not to be the person who's the most knowledgeable, but to be the person who has brought the most people into right relationship with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel. That is something I think the Lord will be pleased in. I'm not saying to neglect theology. Look at Spurgeon. Here's a man who theology dictated how he lived his life, but nonetheless he saw that the most precious thing in this life to do was to win souls.
You have the Apostle Paul talking about this in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about how you can have so much knowledge, you can have all of these things, but if you don't have love, it doesn't profit you. And then I think of some verses in Daniel, the book of Daniel. And I memorized these years ago in the old King James Version, but it says, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever." And that's where the promise is. Paul doesn't give you a promise for the person who's memorized tons of the Bible or written a systematic theology, but Daniel gives a promise to those who turn many to righteousness, that they will shine as the stars forever and ever. And if you get that in your mind, I think it will change the perspective of what are the important tasks in the kingdom right now. Is the important task in the kingdom that we need another wonderful treatise on this topic? Maybe we do, but maybe one of the important tasks in the kingdom is to turn many to righteousness.
Absolutely. So again, our hope here is not to pierce you with a sword, but to build bridges over these traps, over these obstacles that will hinder your witness, and to encourage you and spur you on to share the message of Jesus Christ. We desire that for you. We desire that for us. And that's what we have for you today from Timothy Talks. This is Matthew Rischer along with Daniel Pensimone. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Timothy Talks. Timothy Talks podcast is produced by Daniel Pentamone and Matthew Rischer. To visit Daniel's personal website, visit www.fromdanielsdesk.com. Again, that's fromdanielsdesk.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, do us a favor. Pass it on to a friend. You can refer them to timothytalkspodcast.com or tell them to subscribe on their favorite podcast app. Thanks so much.